It has been it's been a week of celebration of salvation this week. It's been a week of celebrating salvation in the church and through the church. On Sunday last week, we had Dave sharing about going to India. Who loved what Dave brought last week? My goodness, I love what God is doing in him. I got to hang out with him a little bit this week, but not too much. But I just hearing the stories of salvation that came through him and what he's doing and what that's bringing him back here to do is just really, really exciting. And then Tuesday night, we had shelter training, and Michelle, who's leading that, took a group of volunteers along. And that is just speaking about us bringing salvation into the community. And it's so exciting to see you leading that so well, Michelle. And then Wednesday, we had the CAP celebration, which was amazing. And Christina is carrying that so well and bringing hope and salvation into the community again. And we heard some testimonies, Mark and Belinda, how you became free. And it was just, it's just very, very exciting to hear and very exciting to see what God is doing. And then Thursday, we went to a conference up at the Father Heart Conference. And God again was just talking to us about salvation and bringing salvation and his hope and his dreams into the community and into our hearts. And it just about how much of a good father he was and how much he loved us. And a group of us went, and I think we just came, and we were just filled with his Holy Spirit once again and refreshed in him, refreshed in how much he loved us. And then today, we come to today, and Cleo gets up and gets baptized. And when I first met Cleo, I don't think she'll mind me sharing this with you. She was a mess. She was a complete mess. That is the truth. I went into her house. She was in tears. She didn't know what to do. She didn't know the options in her life. She didn't know. She was trapped. But then CAP and the church, us as a church, came into her life and brought salvation in. And we brought hope in. And her today, just hearing her being here, just her sharing who she is in front of us, it's just a testimony of God's saving power in our lives and our community. And I just want to celebrate that a little bit and just say thank you, Jesus, that you're a savior. Thank you, Jesus, that you save us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus. When Duncan asked me to speak, he gave me one bit of advice. I'm not following it so far, so I apologize, Duncan. He said, stand still. He said that everyone watching you gets dizzy and tired. But anyway, I wanted to redeem that comment. And I wanted us to just stand together, still, in front of God. And just each of us, if everyone stands up. It's been a day of standing up and down. But just ask the Holy Spirit to come into your heart. Just ask him to come and fill you. Open your heart up to him and ask Father God what he wants to say and do in you today. And I'm just going to stay in silence for a little bit and then we'll see. Yeah, Holy Spirit, we just invite you to be here today. We invite you into our hearts, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come and do a work in us. When I was preparing, I just felt God say, I'm going to take you deeper with me today. I'm going to take you deeper in me today. Father God, come and take us deeper with you. Come and take us deeper into your presence, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Fantastic. If you just take a seat and we'll learn. It's the Holy Spirit that does work within us. It's the Holy Spirit that changes us and transforms us. When Jesus came, he said, I came to seek and to save the lost. He also said, I have not come into the world to judge the world, but to save it. This whole Bible is a story of God who wants to bring salvation into our lives. This whole Bible, right from the beginning, is a story of us being separated from God and him wanting to come back and be back in relationship with us. It's about him coming into the world and saving his people. It's about him coming and wanting to be with us. On the cross, Jesus was nailed to the cross and he was dying on that cross. And as he breathed his last, he said, "It is finished." And then the curtain in the temple flew open and ripped in half. Now, there is great significance in these two things happening at the same time. Okay? So when he said, "It is finished," it was him saying, "My mission on earth is finished." What did he say his mission was? He said his mission was to seek and to save the lost. He said he had come to save the world. When he said, "It is finished," he was saying, "My work here is finished. I have completed the job you have sent me to do." And then the curtain ripping in top to bottom and flying wide open invited us into his presence. Let me explain that to you. In the Old Testament, David was given instructions on how to build a temple, on how to build the place where God would be worshipped. And God told him to build an outer wall, and then within the temple to build a holy place, and then within the holy place to build a holy of holies. So there's three levels of entering in. You can go into the temple but not be in the holy place. You can then go into the holy place but not be able to go into the holy of holies. And what this was God is a God who wants to be in our presence. God wants to be in man's presence. He wants to be with us. But because of sin, we were separated from God. But he didn't wait and leave it there. He didn't want to be separated. He didn't want to be far away from us. But if sin enters God's presence, God destroys sin. Now, if we are sin, then he would destroy us. Okay? So he wanted us to be in his presence. He wanted to be with us. And so he devised a way for that to happen with the temple. And so he would come. Basically, the Holy of Holies was where God would come and dwell. Okay? He would come and be in that place. But then, in the doorway was this like 10-foot in-depth curtain, a big curtain that separated God from man. Okay? No man could go through that curtain without being in trouble. In fact, once a year, one man actually did go through that curtain annually. Before that, he had to make sure that he lived an extremely holy life beforehand. And then he still had to kill some animals to make sure that he was holy enough to enter into God's presence. And then he had to tie a rope around his ankle and leave one end outside in case he hadn't quite met the criteria and hadn't got rid of all the sin on him. And so if he went in and died, someone else didn't have to go in and die, and someone else to go in and die. Someone outside could drag him out with a rope. That's the truth. That's the seriousness of entering into God's presence. That's the truth of it. There is weight behind entering into the presence of God. He is so holy. He is so magnificent. And yet he wants to be with us, even though we're sinful. That's the amazing thing about this. He created, he devised this whole thing, this whole temple, because he wants to be with us. He doesn't want to be separated from us, but he has to be separated from us. He wants to be in the temple. He wants to be in the midst of his people. And so he devised this so that he would be in the midst of his people. So what does it mean that the curtain ripped in two? And the Bible doesn't actually say that it flew open. That's kind of my kind of, I think it must have flown open. I think it must have been kind of powerful, kind of, it wouldn't just be like a little tear, you know, coming down. But it flew open as soon as Jesus died on that cross. How was that? How was God's presence now allowed to be out there? This is a prophetic statement that God was making when this curtain ripped in two. When Jesus died, before Jesus died, he was on this earth. And he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He said, "Nobody comes to the Father except through the Son." He also said, "I am the gate. If you enter through me, you will be saved." Jesus is the entrance. He is the gate into the Father's presence. That is what salvation is. Salvation is, I accept Jesus and all the work he has done for me, and then I can access into the presence of God without fearing. I am free to be in the presence of God. It's incredible truth that we now, as people, we do not have sin on us anymore as soon as we accept Jesus. God wants to save us. He dreams about saving us. He makes plans to save us, and that is what he does. And he brings salvation into our lives. Now, some people still today kind of feel separated from God. They feel like they're in the place. And I imagine it's a bit like knowing there is a God, knowing there is a creator, knowing there is a savior, knowing there is a God, but not knowing how to get into his presence, and always feeling condemned because of their actions, thinking, I cannot enter into that presence. Jesus is the way into that presence. Jesus is the only way into that presence. And Jesus has completed the work for every one of us. If you believe in Jesus today, you are free to enter into the presence of God. You're free to. There's nothing. What Jerry read before, do you know, I knew he was going to read Romans 8. I don't know why. I knew it. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is nothing upon us which is condemning us. Nothing. Ephesians 2 says, it is a gift of grace that you are saved. A gift that is freely given to you, not earned, so that no one can boast. Your actions don't get you into heaven. Believing in Jesus Christ gets you into his presence, the Father's presence. And it's powerful. And it's powerful to transform. And it's powerful to change. And it's powerful to change our lives. God is incredibly powerful. And I wanted to pause at this moment. I wanted to pause here and just give anyone who doesn't know Jesus the opportunity to respond to Jesus. He is calling you home. If you feel like, I know there is a God. I know he exists. But I cannot enter his presence. I cannot get there. I want to tell you today that if you accept Jesus, you are free to enter into his presence. Now, it's quite a big, bold move if you are here and you're feeling like that and you're desperate to get into his presence, but you don't dare put your hand up. But I want you to just be really brave. And if you don't know Jesus today and you want to come to know him, to just put your hand up and accept him into your life. And as you accept him, the presence of God falls. I've been, when I was with Cleo and she gave her life to Jesus, the presence of God fell in that place in such a tangible way. And every time that I have led someone to Jesus, the presence of God has been so thick and so, just so good. The Father comes in all his power, and it's not just you entering into his presence, it's him entering into you. He says he will come and make your heart his home. He will come and live within you. He will come and empower you. He'll come and change you and transform you from within. This is the beginning step of inviting Jesus into your life. So I'm just going to stay here, and if anyone feels they want to respond to Jesus today, I'd like you to put your hand up. Father, give us a deeper revelation of who you are, Father. Give us a deeper revelation of who you are, Father. Come, Father God. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that there's no separation between us and you, Father. Praise your name, Jesus. Praise your name, Father. Thank you, Lord. Often this is where talks on salvation kind of come to a close. We've done the altar call. We've done the kind of, okay, you've been saved. Praise the Lord. And I think this is where our culture often ends when we think about salvation. We think about, okay, I'm saved. I've been given the gift of salvation. Now I can go to heaven. Praise Jesus. Woo! Which is awesome. And you will. And that is the promise of God. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, there is so much more and so much more depth to the salvation that God has for you. When I was meeting with God, And I was in quite a low place. And he just said to me, actually, your salvation isn't just about your spiritual salvation. I want to make you whole. I want to make you complete. In John 10:10, he said, I have come to bring you life and life in all its fullness. Life in all its fullness. That's what God comes to do. That's when he does that initial work of salvation, you're entering into a process of being saved and becoming whole in Christ. And it's a process that takes all of eternity. It's not a process that is quick and sharp. He does do quick and sharp things, but he also invites us into a relationship with him, with God the Father. And God the Father is a good, good Father who loves us and adores us, who doesn't count the things against us that we do wrong, but constantly wants us to see more and more wholeness and more freedom in our lives. That is his plan for our lives. And it's a journey, and we walk that journey. We all walk that journey of gaining more and more freedom. And sometimes it will feel like we're not gaining that freedom, and we can condemn ourselves, and we can feel rubbish, and we can feel a bit low. And sometimes it will feel like we're doing great, and we're getting more and more freedom, and we can celebrate and be excited. But I just want to reassure you that God's salvation is started in you. It's began in you. It's working itself out. In Philippians 2, there's a verse which says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, because it is God who works in you to bring his plans about. And then in Philippians 1, it also says, God, who began a good work in you, is going to see it through to completion. So the word Jill brought before about believing there are promises on your life. There are promises on your life. There are good plans the Father has for you. He wants to restore you. He wants to make you whole. But it's a journey with him in order to get to that place of wholeness and freedom and redemption. And I think I just want to give you two real practical ways of working that out, because I think sometimes that it can feel like we're a bit distant and we've been saved and that presence falls in that place, but then we leave the presence and try and get on with our life. And I think it actually has to be the complete opposite. It has to be that we are entering into the presence and we are doing that daily and we are doing that out of choice and we're doing that constantly. So Duncan shared last week about the first thing that I wanted to share, and that was that actually we have to prioritize coming into the presence of God. We have to learn about how we can come into the presence of God. There's a verse in Romans 12 which says about our minds being conformed and how God needs to transform them. How we do that is by going into the presence of the Father. Because as you go into the presence of the Father, he transforms your thinking, he transforms your mind, he transforms your being, he transforms who you are. In his presence, he transforms you. Often I know that we live in a dark world here. That's the truth. Philippians 2 again says it's a crooked and depraved generation that we live in. And that is the truth. And we can so easily become like this. We can so easily be surrounded by the things of the world. We can read the newspaper, we can hang out with friends, we can do all sorts. And if they're the only things influencing us, they're the things which are conforming your mind to their thinking. Whereas actually God wants to bring you into a place where you're hearing his voice and you're listening to him, and he is transforming, because that is what brings freedom and life. His transforming power. So personally, just to let you know how I do it, my favorite thing to do is go on holiday and sit by a stream. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I like to think of streams of living water. Quite often, I remember going away with some friends and they were not Christians, and I'd go every morning and sit in the middle of this stream that was outside our house with our Bible, which must have looked a bit weird to them. But it just restores my soul. I just love it, and I just experience God in that place, and I know him, and I hear his voice, and I just hear him speaking to me, and I cherish it. But if I can't do that, then I just have worship on regularly. If Zoe comes in, I'm generally listening to worship, generally. If I'm on my bike going somewhere, I've generally got worship or a talk going on in my head. And why I do that is because I want to, looking at this baptism, I want to be sank, I want to be, what Duncan was saying, being pickled in the Holy Spirit, being pickled in God, being pickled. I want to be so pickled by God that that is what transforms me. I don't want to be conformed, I want to be transformed. But you have to learn how to do that in your own way. And you have to, as you do this, you begin to hear God's voice and you begin to learn what his voice sounds like and you begin to realize how God speaks to you. So he might give you pictures, he might talk to you through the Bible, he might talk to you through other people, he might talk to you. But just learn, how does God speak to me? Where does God speak to me? And then prioritize that, prioritize doing that, because he will transform your thinking. He will transform your body. He will transform your mind. He'll transform your emotions. He'll set you free from sin. He'll bring freedom into your life, and he'll bring wholeness in. But that's not everything. You could come and spend all your time in the presence of God and still not be transformed. And it's because with all of these things, there's an outworking which we have to actively partner with God in. We have to take an active role in the outworking of our salvation. You see, there's a verse where Jesus says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Now, belief kind of comes, it's a gift from God, belief, in many ways. We can read and things, but actually believing is actually a work of the Holy Spirit, a miracle in our minds and a miracle in our bodies. Believing in that, that's belief. God works that. Being baptized, who chooses to do that? I do. Or I don't. I either listen to what God says in his word about what I should do, or I don't listen to his word and I don't activate the works of salvation in my life. There's another verse in Romans 10 and it says, whoever believes in their heart that Christ died and confesses with their mouth that Christ, that God raised him from the dead, will be saved. And it's the same thing. That belief comes because God implants miraculous works inside of us. And then the outworking comes because we choose to partner with our Father to work it out. And that's not a works-based theology. That is a biblical theology where you actually activate. It's like a relationship. If you're not active in that relationship, then guess what? It falls apart. You don't feel like there's presence anymore. You don't feel like there's love there anymore. Whereas if you take an active role in participating in the salvation that God has for you, then you will gain transformation. You will gain freedom. You will be healed, you will be restored, you will be redeemed, and you will see freedom in areas where you've struggled. Now along with all this can come, a feeling of condemnation can come in this place, because it's like, oh, God, I know you spoke to me at that point, I know you did, and I didn't do anything about it. And that is where condemnation can come in. And that's why I was so glad when Jerry read that out, because there is no condemnation. Later on, in Romans 8, the same chapter, Romans 8:38, it reads, there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. From the love of your Father, there is nothing that can separate you from the love of your Father. Nothing in life, nothing in death. How glorious is that truth? There is nothing, no action that I do can separate me from the love of my Father. How amazing is that truth? I've asked Zoe to lead us in a song that I started it last week, just because I think actually it's a truth that when I sing it, it does such a work within my soul of refreshing me in the Father's presence. And it's called Good, Good Father. And I know some of you might be in hard places right now. I know that. But that doesn't change the truth of your good, good Father wanting to save you and save that area of your life and bring light into it. And I just want us to respond while singing Good, Good Father. And just respond and lift those situations in our lives. Lift those dreams in our lives up to God and just say, you are a good, good Father. That's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are. And I speak it in. You're a good, good Father in all of our lives. And I am loved by you. That's who I am. That's who I am. That's who I am.